Turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We're having a little mini-series on faith. And last week we talked about faith when people have family crises. And we talked about the Canaanite woman that had the daughter that was possessed of the demon and how she was persistent to Christ until Christ answered her need and answered her faith. Tonight we're going to talk about faith when everything is lost. Faith was everything is lost. Now, to the Christian, not everything is lost. You cannot lose your salvation. But when you lose all things in the world, you lose things like your health, and you lose your possessions, and you have adverse things. Everyone thinks that all is lost. That was the story of Job. That was the test of Job. And I think we've all in here have gone through periods where things have not gone well, where things have gone adversely, where things have gone opposite, that we lost things that we had. But faith will get us through them. So we're looking at Job chapter 1, verse 21, and then some other verses out of Job, specifically out of chapter 1 as we go through the message tonight. But in Job chapter 1, verse 21, after all these things happened to Job, and he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Faith requires focus. And focus was what Job had. He kept on making his complaint all the way through the book to God. Even though when his friends said, "You're the party, it's all about sin in your life," and they judged him, he still kept his eyes on God. It frustrated him, but in the end, God answered him, and God blessed him. You know, we know about Job's blessing. In Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil." That's a lesson for all of us. We need to be complete in God. We need to be upright. We need to be righteous. We need to respect God. He's not the man upstairs. He's not the old man. He's God creator. He's your Savior. He's our Heavenly Father. And we need to respect that. And we need to hate evil and not succumb to it. It says, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household." So that this man was greatest, not just great, he was greatest of all the men in the East. He was a good and godly and a prosperous man. You know, God told Joshua, the secret to success is to meditate on God's word and don't let it depart out of your life. He had a great family, 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was healthy and wealthy. But in one day, Job loses all of that by the devourer. By the devourer. You know, the issue is he is the destroyer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, if you go down to verse 12 of Job chapter 1, we see that it's Satan that does this. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." This is the first test. This is when he loses possessions and his family. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Here's the first thing In all these things, God is sovereign. God's not going to let you have more than you can handle. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there is no temptation taken that is not common to man. But with the temptations, God's going to make a way to escape that we can endure it. And it's all things. Finally, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the working of your faith, or that the trying of your faith, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. You may be perfect, entire, lacking nothing. Job loses all this in one day. He loses all of the cattle. He loses all of the camels. He loses his oxen when enemies come through. Sheep and the shepherds were killed by lightning. And we look at all these things and God was doing this. No, it was Satan is doing this. God just allowed this to happen to Job. The Chaldeans stole all of his camels, killed the keepers, and then a great storm flattened the house and killed his family. You know, this basically just shows us what could go wrong. And the issue is God is still God. God is still sovereign. But what we see here is we see Job's grief and unshaken faith. In verse 20, he says, then Job arose. And this is after now he is touched with other problems. And he said, and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. You know, he basically said, naked came I. I came in empty-handed into the world, and I'm going to leave that way. Blessed is the name of the Lord. So tonight I want to look at three things about Job and about the conditions that he was in. Job saw the Lord as the source of life. You know, the camels can be replaced. The oxen can be replaced. The asses can be replaced. The children were another issue. The children were another issue. And I could tell you, for those who have lost children, it's a devastating thing. We've not experienced ourselves, but those who have, it's a devastating thing. We need to understand, and he understood, that parents are but partners with God in giving life. It says that the Lord gave. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And as Job is thinking about this and about what's happened to his kids, he realizes that all life comes from the Lord. In Job 33, verse 4, as he's going through this agony, trying to find out why these things and his faith is being tested, he says, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. We would not be here tonight if it wasn't for God. We won't be here tomorrow if it's God's will. Okay? But it's all by his grace and his mercy. We need to understand that the agony that he was going through as a parent, but then he realized that God had given him these kids. And at the same time, that all life comes from the Lord. Job knew the time he had with his children was by his grace. You know, we need to understand this. And I know that every one of you who've had kids leave the nest will say this. I wish we had more time. I wish we had more time. I think the lesson here is that we need to take every opportunity that we have, especially with our children before we launch them out into adulthood, to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to understand what Psalm 118, verse 24 says. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You didn't make this day, God did. You didn't make your life, God did. We're just instruments of that. And we need to understand it's all by God's grace. All the good times that he had, all the fun times that he had, all the family together times that they had is now gone. Is now gone. And Job knew that this was, that God was going to get him through this. We need to understand that every good and perfect gift is from above. That's what James 1:17 says. That every good gift and every perfect gift come is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We need to understand that God is the great giver of life. His greatest gift was his son. And so Job sees this and he says, the Lord gave. The Lord gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Job saw the Lord as a source of life, even in this time of loss. Job saw the Lord as sovereign over the length of life. He says, the Lord hath taken away. You know, there's two surprising things about life. First of all, we don't think it's been long enough when death is near. I go back to Genesis in 47 when Jacob comes to Pharaoh and he's introduced to Pharaoh. And in verse 3 of Genesis 47, and Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. And then look at what he says. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and I've not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the day of their pilgrimage. Jacob is getting up in age, and he's not going to be as old as Isaac. He's not going to attain that age. And then he says, it's been few. There's a lot of things that I wish could do differently. And wish we could do that. But the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. If you get nothing out of this tonight, I want you to take this away, that today God gave you this, and we need to understand that we need to make the best of it for him. For him. And so we see that when death is near, we don't think it's long enough. And then when we think that the future seems sure, we don't think that we have enough time to do everything that we want to do. And we think that life is too short. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Basically, Christ says, you live today, okay? Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is what? The evil thereof. It says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So, we find out that as death, we encounter death either as we approach it or our family approaches it, someone in our family or an accident has happened, an incident has happened, life wasn't long enough. And then we don't have enough time, when we think we have all the time in the world. You only have today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to understand that our breath is in God's hands. When Daniel is talking to Nebuchadnezzar, he says here, he says, "But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords," and actually his grandson Belshazzar, "and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the Lord in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." See, we can't have a second ago back. We can only have now. And so Job had, all he had was he had the memory of his kids, the memory of his substance, eventually the memory of his health. It's all taken away. That is the biggest trial of faith that you could ever have. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. I came into the earth with nothing. I came out, but I still have God. I still have God. And so we find about these two surprising things about life. It doesn't seem long enough. Our breath is in God's hands. Job understood that life is short at its longest. And we need to understand that ourselves. In Job chapter 7, verse 6, he says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." Here's a man that's going through a tremendous trial of faith. And he said, "I want an answer here." And sometimes that answer doesn't come when you want it to. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto" what? Wisdom. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be" what? "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So Job saw the Lord as sovereign over the length of life, and Job didn't understand, but his faith made him strong. It says all these things, he didn't curse God. He didn't curse God. This weekend, in my devotions, is taking me through 2 Corinthians, and I came across 2 Corinthians 12 yesterday about Paul and his trials. It says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, he says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." When I am weak, we are emptied of everything that we could use, anything that we have in order to solve problems. And now God can fill those. And God can fill those. So Job saw that the Lord was sovereign over the length of life. Job saw the Lord as the source of life. And then lastly, Job saw the Lord as the same no matter what happens in life. He says, whatever the case may be, the Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. See, it's easy to bless God when things are going well. In fact, that's what Satan used to tempt Job. When you think about this, in Job chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, he says, Satan is talking to God, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in land." He says this, he says, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. See, it's easy to say, oh, how I love Jesus, when everything's going exactly how we want them to. But what happens when your world gets turned upside down? See, it's an opportunity to either turn to God even more or turn away from God. It's easy to bless when things are going well. Job was able to bless God when his blessing turned to barrenness. When all those things that he had physically were taken away. It kind of makes you think about Psalm 23, doesn't it? In verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And then what does it say? Though that I walk through the valley of the what? Shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then in the end, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall live in the house of the Lord forever. See, Job was able to bless God when his blessing turned to barrenness. And he realized that God gave by his mercy. God gave by his grace. God gave his family grace through that time. Don't waste an opportunity, church, parents, with your kids. Don't do it. It's a day that God has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in this. Job didn't understand, so he spoke by faith. He had nothing else to do. The only thing he had was he had his wife who turned on him and the servants that came to report the destruction of his possessions. And that was all he had in the end. There was nothing he could do to try to save or solve the problem himself. And when he got to that point, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. God knew what was going to happen. And here is the point of Job's life. It was a test. It was the tempter doing that, just like with Paul. He was given a thorn in the flesh. Job was given all this. It came from the same source. It came from Satan. And God allowed it in our life to make us better, to make us more like him, to make us closer, to make us walk closer to him. And we know what happened. In Job chapter 42, when it's all over and done with, he got twice as many camels, twice as many sheep, twice as many asses, twice as many servants, and he got another whole family. And he saw those days. And I guarantee you, that family is the closest-knit family you probably ever had on the face of the earth. Because Job learned what was going, what it could be taken away in a heartbeat. And we need to understand that all this could be taken away. And we should not hold on it in fear. We should hold on and be good stewards of it in faith. God's love is unchanging. Have things gone badly for us? God loves you in spite of your circumstances. God loves you through your circumstances. If you want to understand about God's love, the cross proves God's unchanging love. We just need to look at the cross and look at all the things that Jesus suffered for us. For us. And that will give us hope. He did it because he loved us. We need to get through these things to show that we love him. And so tonight, God loves you as you are, and he wants to save you from the situation you're in, but he wants to save your soul. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, I pray that you just increase our faith. Father, we all go through troubles. And Lord, our troubles pale in comparison to what Job went through. But Lord, he still blessed you and still had faith. And Father, help us, Lord, to increase our faith in you. Not to blame you for what happens in our lives, Lord, but to bless you for allowing us the grace to go through it. Lord, help us to look to the cross as we sung tonight and understand that you did that out of your love for us and that we need to love you with all of our heart. We need to follow you fully. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.